Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, travelers desperate to go anywhere are buying out flights to nowhere. Can cruise ships be far behind with the same idea? Plus, we explain why it's pretty hard to catch COVID on a plane and pause for a moment of silence for the airlines who are desperate for another hunk of taxpayer funds, and the clock is ticking.
We make you a smarter traveler at 320 by explaining why, if you're traveling by air holiday season, you might buy the ticket now. And we remind you why it's never a good idea to buy art or jewelry on a cruise ship or even a shore excursion.
After the news at 3:35, we're off to Singapore. Earlier this week, we chatted with Shivaja Das. His book, The Other Shangri-La, covers a most interesting part of the world.
And the Travel Guys are partnering with local chef Paulette Bruce to do something really cool on the radio. We have details on that project and two ideas for close-to-home getaways. That's coming up at 3:50.
Someone said it feels like the world is ending. Well, just in case they are correct, you have certainly come to the right place. I mean, under those circumstances, you might need the advice of, say, the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Oh, I was born a man.
I come from a land of love. I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kick.
With the show.
Welcome, welcome. Hello, everyone. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, every Sunday, 3 to 4, here on the radio and on iHeartRadio.com, anywhere that iHeartRadio goes. Thanks for joining us. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and I'm looking on my FaceTime here across the way to my partner Mark Hoffman there, tucked away in his little studio in the office. I'm here at home still. One of these days, I don't know when it'll be, maybe we'll actually get back into the radio station. But then again, why?
Yeah.
When I'm so close to the refrigerator here.
That's what everybody says. But, you know, we can't see Luis and, you know, we can see each other.
He doesn't want to see us anyway.
No, he probably doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably... Besides that, that's just one more person to have to share whatever was brought in that morning that they've been feasting on there.
Anyway, good to see you, my friend. We got a little clearer air this weekend.
That's a nice thing.
It was pretty rough, you know, but it's much better. And I think on the whole, everything is kind of looking up. How's things looking there at Sports Leisure Vacations?
We sent some people out on a tour this week to Santa Cruz, a couple dozen of them, on a 3-day trip, and all went well. You know, yeah. It's you can't go everywhere and do everything. You can only go selected places and be very careful. And so that's what we're doing, trying to be careful. And I'm headed out across Nevada and back on the old Lincoln Highway here in about 10 days. Have about 20 people who are going with me. But, again, there's no air travel involved. It's about 20 folks, mostly small towns. So we're not in big crowds and things like that, and we're mostly sightseeing in places where there are not a tremendous number of people. So the old highway trips tend to be that way. So it's there are some things you can do. You just have to be very careful at what you're going to.
Yeah, and I'm guessing the places that you'll be staying are those that you're very familiar with, and that you've had a chance to vet out with the vendors and before you go. So I would imagine, with that being said, it should be relatively comfortable and safe.
Yeah, the toughest thing is when you're in towns like Elko and Ely and Eureka, not California, but Nevada, which is considerably smaller than Eureka, California, Austin, Fallon, places like that. In some cases, there just aren't very many choices. And, of course, with COVID, you know, not every restaurant is open, and not everybody is, you know, it's 50% and all of those things. So you have to have people who are willing to work with you. Fortunately, most restaurants and hotels at this point, we have 20 on my group. There were 24 to Santa Cruz last week. You know, if they're willing to kind of get flexible, they need the business. So they're happy to see you if they can just figure out a way to accommodate you within the rules and regulations. And we're flexible. We have good folks. When they travel, they wear a mask. They take care of themselves. They wash their hands. They, you know, keep distance and stuff like that. Why, we're the folks that travel with Sports Leisure. We're not rookies. We get it. We're, you know, and anybody who wants to make a political statement why they're traveling, why, please don't travel with us. Because we're not into all of that stuff. We're just trying to go and have a good time and go and see something fun. So we're going to go out on the old highway and see some old Pony Express stations. And so we're going to spend one afternoon before it opens touring a working bordello. So there you go.
Well, all right. Yeah, you know. Sounds like a great tip.
Lots of ladies have never been in a bordello. And lots of them are very curious about what it looks like. And I mean, they know what goes on there, but, you know, how does it all shake out, so to speak? So, you know, one of the things that you can do in Nevada is, you know, it's legal there. Bordellos are legal there. And so you can go before they open in the afternoon. And one of the ladies would give you a tour, tell you a little bit about her job and what she does. And hopefully not too much about how she does it. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. Moving along.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, look, at the top of every Travel Guys show, we bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. With that being said, bring it to us, Mark. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, now that we've gone through the bordello news for the day, those places have been closed down, you know, because, I mean, you know, after all, that is personal contact and stuff. So,
right.
Anyways, there's a lot of jokes there, none of which we can use on the radio. Let's see here. Flights to Nowhere, Qantas. Folks, I'm sure, are familiar with this. It's been in the news all week. They created a flight on October the 10th. It leaves from Sydney Airport, flies around Australia, and 7 hours later, it comes back to Sydney Airport. The tickets were in U.S. dollars between about $550 and about $2,700 if you wanted to go first class. They sold them all in 10 minutes. You don't get off the plane. You don't land anywhere. They're going to fly you over the Great Barrier Reef and out to Ayers Rock. And from 30,000 feet, if the weather is good, you'll be able to see some of those things. But I think it's a little bit weird. They're not the first airline to think of this. But now you've got cruise ships that are basically saying, you know, the problem is you go into a port. They don't want people from all over the world coming into their port. And what if you've got people who are, you know, there were a lot of things we found out in the spring. There were a lot of unknowns when it came to cruise ships and COVID. So what if the cruise ship took off for 3 or 4 days or a week and didn't make any port of calls and you just stayed on the ship and enjoyed the atmosphere and the surroundings? And I mean, I've seen 3 and 4 day trips that leave from point A and go to point B and don't stop any place along the way. So this wouldn't be completely let me just ask you, Tom, you're not particularly a big cruise ship guy, but would that have some interest to you, getting on a cruise ship and sailing around the ocean for a few days?
You know, no, not really, because I think I'd be more interested in the port of calls and able to have some sightseeing. I mean, because the question is simply this: how much different would being shut down on a cruise ship? You know, I'm a gambler. There's a casinos there and so forth, and lots of food and stuff to eat, and I'm sure it's going to look a lot different than it would be in the normal cruise. You might as well just stay in a really, really nice resort on the mainland, you know, on the ground and not out on the ocean.
And let me you didn't ask for this, but here is your travel tip when it comes to gambling on cruise ships. Only the first and second day.
Oh, okay.
Cruise ship gambling operations are concessions on ships. The people who run them have to be paid. They have to pay a percentage of what they make to the ship. There's not a lot of room for winners in there. But so what they want to do is they want people to win when they get on board, because then if you win the first day, you'll go to dinner and you'll tell everyone, boy, those some slot machines are looser and you can't. I won $400 this afternoon, barely walked in the door, and money was just flying at me. I mean, they were practically giving money away. And so then everybody goes down, and of course, those machines can be changed, what their payoffs are. And so the machines get a little tighter as the week goes on, and that's how they make their money. Never gamble on a cruise ship. They have too many overhead expenses to pay. You cannot possibly win. If you do gamble on a cruise ship and you win, you should go buy a lottery ticket right away, because you are the luckiest person on the planet.
All right, brother. Thank you for the advice.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Delta Cruise Lines. Listen, this earlier this summer, United and American, you know, cashed in their chips on your frequent flyer. Folks, if you belong to a frequent flyer program or seven, because you travel a lot, those things are worth tremendous amounts of money to the airlines. They have been able to show banks and investors and other things that people who have those numbers and belong to those frequent flyer, and I'm one of them, spend more money in certain ways, and they can predict your spending habits and things like that. It's worth a lot of money to them. Delta is the latest one to cash in on $9 billion in loans against their frequent flyer, SkyMiles. So, wow. I mean, $9 billion they borrowed against their frequent flyer program.
Wow.
That is just staggering that something like that could be worth that much money. I mentioned in the headlines, the airlines, of course, are holding their breath. September 30th is D-Day. That's like a week from Wednesday. That's the day they have to lay off a whole bunch of people, because that's the day that they're first tranche of government money runs out. They had to agree not to lay anybody off until then. So a whole lot of airline employees are looking, tens of thousands literally, are looking to be laid off on September the 30th if they don't get more money from the government. So you all know how that's been going. The Republicans and Democrats have been playing whack-a-mole back in Washington, D.C. over additional benefits over COVID. So whether the airlines get these or not is anybody's guess. But, you know, they went out and they said, well, you know, we're going to be good guys and we're going to give everybody back. We're not going to charge change fees because it really aggravates people. And we'll do something nice and make it look like we're good citizens. And then the government will give us a whole bunch of B as in billions dollars and we'll be living happily ever after. Well, let me tell you about how that works. This year in the COVID second quarter, the airlines collected $80 million roughly in change fees. Last year with no COVID, they collected $739 million in one quarter. That's that $200 to change from Tuesday to Wednesday or whatever. You didn't get a refund of your ticket. You just changed and you paid a fee. So roughly about 90% of that revenue went away for the airlines. So when they said, well, we'll just not charge this, they had already lost 90% of it. So it wasn't that magnanimous of a gesture to give away the other 10% to try to make themselves look like good people. And folks say, well, you know, the fees are gone, and they said they'll never be back. And I will tell you that it's just domestic tickets, and it's not the really cheap tickets, and it's not the overseas tickets. And there's not every ticket is included there. And you watch, they will do a weasel on us, because that's the way the airlines do. And they will call it something else, because if they don't, some of us might catch on to what's going on. And the airlines are smarter than that. So you watch, these fees will be back at some point, not very long from now, because the airlines are not. You do the math. That's about $650 million in one quarter they didn't collect. That's a couple billion dollars a year just off the change fees. So you can be certain that they will find a way for those to come back. So enjoy the no change fee thing. While you can't see, Southwest is going to keep the middle seats open through November 30th. That means Thanksgiving travel. We're going to talk a little bit about holiday travel here in a couple minutes after the break. Let's see, what else have I got here? COVID, hard to get on an airplane. 320 passengers were on a Japanese Airlines flight. This has been a few months now. Everybody on the plane was tested. Nobody was infected. So keep in mind when you're flying that the air on the planes is recirculated, is changed about every 3 minutes. So you'd really have to have somebody like right next to you just coughing and hacking on you and touching you and stuff like that the whole time. It is very difficult because of that air exchange to get COVID on an airplane. Fairmont in San Francisco on Nob Hill has reopened. Salt Lake City has opened their brand new airport. Of course, they don't need it as much as they needed it when they started building it a couple, 3 years ago. But brand new airport in Salt Lake City. Thanksgiving Macy's Day Parade has been canceled in New York City. And I think that's about your travel news for today.
Well, there you go. And thank you for the unscheduled one man's opinion.
Well, I know you occasionally you enjoy a game of chance.
Yes. It was very, very good. All righty. Yeah. We are the Travel Guys, and next up is our Smarter Traveler segment. We got a couple of real good ones for you, folks, so stick around. That's next here on the Travel Guys. Here we go.
Turn it up.
Yeah, baby, Sweet Home Alabama. Welcome, everyone. If you're a first-timer, we are Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, every week at 3 o'clock. What? Oh, yeah, I got to mute. Never mind. Sorry about that.
That's
okay.
All right.
Yeah. It's
modern technology.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, this particular part of the program is where we do our best to try to make you a smarter traveler. Mark,
yep.
In the headlines, we had a couple of items that you indicated we're going to talk about.
You thousands of dollars on your next ocean-going cruise.
Keeping me away from the slot machines.
So here's a text from Mrs. Romano here. Says, thank you for saving the... goodness.
Speaking of
cruise ships.
Yeah. What about them?
Well, cruise ships oftentimes will have jewelry stores, jewelry concessions.
Right. Yeah.
They're kind of like that. They're similar to the gambling concessions in that they're concessions, and people pay money to have those folks who sell you the jewelry be on the ship, and then they pay them a salary or a commission, and then they pay a percentage of their sales, net or gross, depending on the contract of the cruise line. So they have a fairly large amount of overhead there. The other thing about buying, you know, you buy a jewelry or a really expensive handbag or something like that from a concessionaire on the ship. Do you know that almost 30% of people who buy things that cost them over $100 on a cruise ship report buyer's remorse?
Really? What about this thing, this duty fees, duty free? Does that have anything to do with what you get on a cruise ship? I mean,
well, that's another sucker.
What do you know about that?
Well, that's another sucker move, is telling folks that, well, this is duty free. Well, in many cases, it's not that they made any special arrangements. It's duty free under the rules of international sales and things of that sort. So you can, it's like, you know, you're in the airport and you see the duty free store. And if you go in there, you'll find that they have a lot of things in different types of packaging than what you normally see, because that's what allows them to fool with the pricing. You know, if you're used to buying, M&Ms in a certain container and they have it in a different container, you might not know whether that's more M&Ms or fewer M&Ms than you usually pay $10 for. So the fact that it's $15 here, sure, there may not be any duty or tax, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the price is fair. So the same thing applies on a cruise ship. If you're going and you're looking at, what brought this to my attention was a case on Chris Elliott's advocacy site where somebody spent $9,500 on a couple of rings on a ship and decided that they didn't want them. Actually, they were told that one of them, if they decided they didn't want it or it didn't fit properly, that when they got to the next port of call, the same concessionaire would fix it for them. Well, they got to the next port of call, and the next concessionaire for the same company said, "You lost your mind. I'm not fixing that. They sold that to you on the Eiler Island. We're with the same company, but that's about it, and I'm not going to fix it or replace it or anything else. You can go back to Barbados if you want to and talk to the guy, and maybe he'll fix it for you." Well, of course, in many cases, that's not practical. So you've got to be careful. Even if it's like International Diamond, which is a very famous company, and they're on a lot of cruise ships, and they're in some ports of call. But you get off the cruise ship and you buy something on the dock at a port of call, and it turns out, heaven forbid, not to be legit. Maybe the gold isn't 24 karat, it's only 14 karat. You get home, you have it tested. You're like, well, you know, I want half of my money back. Well, good luck with you on that. I mean, you've got to go. And these guys that sell jewelry in these places, they're old timeshare salesmen. You know, I mean, they're good at closing the sale. They're good at pressuring you. They're good at this particular man took almost 2 hours to make his purchase. And he said, you know, I knew before I made it that I really didn't want to make it, but I made it anyway. How many timeshare people have done things like that? So when it comes to buying expensive items in faraway places, think about the fact that if I don't like this or it doesn't turn out to be what I think it is, am I going to be able to take it back? And our second thing here I want to talk about for a couple minutes is has to do with holiday travel. Normally we tell people to wait until about 8 weeks, 6-8 weeks before travel to consider buying tickets. That's usually the best window. Well, Thanksgiving, we're going to be getting into that window pretty soon. Won't be long before that window opens for Christmas. I know not everybody is crazy about flying right now, but for those of you who are, this is the time to consider buying your tickets a little earlier than usual. The airlines are not going to run full schedules or anything close to it. You just heard me say Southwest is leaving the middle seat open. It's possible that other airlines will do the same. What you want to do right now, Southwest is saying through November with the open seats, but really and truly, consider buying your holiday tickets now. Why? Because remember, no change fees. The airlines are waiving the change fees, so it doesn't mean a refund, but it means that you can get that ticket and use it for something else next year. So consider the possibility of at least looking into doing a little scouting for your holiday trips if you're going to do one, because of those that lax change fee rule may put you in a position to buy it a little sooner this year.
All right, there you go. And by the way, if you go to travelguysradio.com, we got links to all of our special guests and other stuff there to help make you a smarter traveler, as well as some fun and entertaining things that you can poke around with. We have a really interesting interview, Mark. We went all the way, halfway around the world into a completely different time zone in another day for this next interview that we taped about a week and a half ago. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's a gentleman who wrote a really fascinating book about the other Shangri-La. You probably wonder where that is. So stay on the Travel Guys. Hey there, folks. It's Mark Hoffman and Sam Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. And from time to time, we like to take you far, far away for special interviews. Today, not only in distance, but kind of in time, as we're talking with our special guests, Shivaji and Yolanda, they're actually a day ahead of us. So the magic of radio and wonderful large world that we live in. Mark, tell me a little bit about where you ran across our special guests today on our program.
Well, Shivaji just sent me a note and said, I'd like to be on the Travel Guys. Is there any interest in what I have to talk about? And since we don't often get international things is something I feel like I don't want somebody just on to promote their destination or talk about some wonderful place that they went to. I want something with a little bit of meat to it that might give people some information or help them determine if that's a destination they want to put on their list. So when Shivaji sent me his bio and a little promotional thing, I thought this would be something that our audience would enjoy. You will tell us. The name of his book is The Other Shangri-La. Shivaji has written a number of books. I will let him tell you about them. His lovely wife, Yolanda, is with him on the phone, and they come to us all the way from Singapore. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here.
Shivaji, you've written this wonderful book. Shangri-La is a place that many of us have heard a lot about. It's kind of an older, traditional-type place. Tell us a little bit about your book, and I know you have a full-time job in addition to being an author. You've written a number of other books, but tell us a little bit about The Other Shangri-La and how it came to be.
Sure, thank you. So this is based on a trip that we undertook about a couple of years back, and this region is not quite Tibet, but it's still Tibet. It's not part of the Tibetan province, but it's the border between the Tibetan province and other parts of China. And it is one of the most beautiful areas that we have seen There are several 7,000-meter-high mountains, deep gorges, vast grasslands, and also, obviously, the world's most dangerous road. But also, this has some very interesting settlements. There is, for instance, this place called Litang, which is the highest town in the world, almost 4,500 meters high in altitude. And it's also home to several Dalai Lamas who were born there and other important Lamas who were born there. And then you have this beauty valley called Danba, which used to have an ancient queendom. And their women are famous for their beauty and strength and courage. And today, every year, there is a beauty contest which happens there. And the men of this region are also known to be equally handsome and very ferocious. No wonder then when you have these combinations, you have many love triangles which happen there, and we happen to get caught in one of them. And then there's also this settlement called Larung, which is about 5,000 meters high in altitude. It is considered the world's highest monastery. At the same time, it is also considered one of the largest illegal slums that have been set up in that part of the world. So you have many of these unique settlements. You have this blend of Tibetan people, Han people, and other mixed races, and all these lead to several complications and several interesting developments in history as well as current times. Unfortunately, it also happens to be a bit restive, and as of today, I know that many of these parts, travelers are no longer allowed to go there, although these bans are removed from time to time. So we were fortunate to go to this very spectacular part of the world, and one of the highlights of our trip was this place called Yading, which is considered one of the most beautiful in China because of the magnificent spectra around the mountains, the snow mountains and the valleys which are there. So we were quite fortunate to be there. And this book is based on our experience as well as the interactions with all these different people that we met along the way.
Shivaji, this sounds very fascinating. And, you know, for those people that don't do altitude very well, doesn't sound like a place you'd want to go. Tell me, you had to have met a lot of interesting people along the way. Can you give me one story of maybe one village or one experience that was special to you and your wife that you'd like to share with our Travel Guys listeners today?
Thank you. So there were so many experiences, and it would be very hard for me to choose which one, but let me pick one of them. It was when we got an opportunity to stay with one of the nomad families, which was living in one of these high-altitude grasslands. And we spent a night there with the family, and it was quite unique because there was nothing for the next 1,000 meters or 1 kilometer or so around that area. And we were having this view of this magnificent snow mountain right in front of us. There were baby yaks, which were standing next to us in the same tent. We had great fun playing with the kids who were there in the family. Unfortunately, even though it was a very happy family setting, it was a very relatively poor setting in terms of that, you know, people were sick, they didn't have access to basic medicine. And the child, the baby girl, she was 8 years old, but she was not going to school because of several reasons. So while it was a fascinating setting, we could see the Milky Way when we went out from our tent at night. There was a lovely stream flowing just next to us. And there were these baby yaks, which took me as one of the competitors for the love of their mother. At the same time, it was a very unfortunate place because of the poverty and also the discrimination sort of that we saw in terms of gender that was there. So that was kind of a special experience for me.
Our guests joining us on the Travel Guys this afternoon are Shivaji Das and his wife Yolanda. He is the author of a book, The Other Shangri-La. Yolanda, you go with Shivaji when he makes these trips out to gather information for the books that he's writing?
Yes, we were together all the time. Even in that particular tent, I was right there hearing how the baby cows were peeing just next to us, calling their mummies. And I think we were together also kind of putting through with that kind of high altitude sickness as well. At one moment, I thought I was going to die.
Wow. This is really fascinating. Now, I want to just ask, recently, there have been issues, Indian-Chinese border. The area that you're talking about is near there or away from that?
This part is awesome there, but, you know, the tensions between the two countries are always visible because of the Tibetan issue. And many Tibetan people who are living in these areas, they took a special liking towards me because they heard that I was from India. And we had families bringing in their children to just touch me because they were saying that, oh, Dalai Lama lives in India and he's from India, so come kids, let's touch him and this will give us some good merit and some blessings. So I was quite a popular star because of the relationship between these two civilizations and the issue of Tibet in that place.
Shivaji, if you were going to tell the folks who are listening to us on the radio right now a reason that they should go online and get a copy of your book, what's the most compelling reason that you can think of? Or what did you learn the most? How were you changed? Give me a little bit of a sales pitch for your book, and then how is it that you got into writing books also?
Sure. So one reason I would recommend this book is that it talks about a part of the world which is not just very beautiful, but also has these spectacular settlements with very unique histories and unique characters. For instance, these beauty queens, which are also the most courageous, the men who are considered to be the most eligible bachelors in China, and also the issue around the whole Tibetan and Han economic as well as political conflicts which have been having over time and which we found an expression of during our trip. So all these insights and all these experiences have been detailed in the book. And we also met many of these fascinating individual characters, such as a bone collector in a sky burial site. We met a monk who was having really high career aspirations and was living in this highest slum as well as one of the highest monasteries in the world. And also a doctor who was settled in this high altitude monastery, whose main issue was that he was only getting to treat women's diseases and not any other diseases. So there are many of such fascinating characters which we talk about in the book, and we believe will be an interesting introduction to a very remote part of the world, which is also very spectacular in its history and just its vistas. So I was always interested in writing, but once I got into management education and started a job, I sort of gave away on that hobby. But over time, I thought, you know, this will be an important hobby to pick up again. And then one thing led to another. Some of my articles got published in journals, and that gave me some encouragement. And then I really started enjoying travel and enjoying doing all the research into understanding about these cultures that goes into the writing process itself. And also writing about these places leaves deep memories and deep understanding of these individual people that I met, and that whole experience of research, writing about these people and also keeping them in my memory is something what keeps me going on and on. And finally, I would say talking about these experiences to an audience, to my readers, that's also a fascinating experience for me, because when I'm in the room or in the audience of people who are curious about a part of the world which is very different from their own, that makes me feel good about humanity as a whole. So these are some of the things which keep me going on about writing.
You convinced me, my friend. The book is The Other Shangri-La. It is done by Konark Publishers in India and the United States. We will leave a link at travelguysradio.com so that you can learn more about the book and some of the other writings that Shivaji has created. Thank you and your wife, Yolanda, for taking some time with us today. It's halfway around the world. And as we record this, it's evening here and morning there, but we were able to pull it off. So thank you very much, first of all, for contacting us, and second of all, for your time. And if there's anything else that comes up that has to do with the book or you write another one, why, make sure you come back and let the travel guys know.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, that was a lot of fun. They were really nice people.
Amen.
It just sounds like such a fascinating place to go. You know, why is it that the most beautiful places on the planet are like in the clouds? So, you know, you need an oxygen mask to go visit.
Well, it's anyway, so that not everybody goes there, you know. I mean, of course, nowadays you have Facebook and all of these social media that can tell people where all of the previously hidden places are only hidden until the first person gets there and and shares it on social media. So that was really fun, though. I mean, that and we did the interview with the guy that ran the ferry boat a couple of weeks ago. That is going to be one of my all-time favorite interviews forever. If we ever do a greatest hits show, why we have to bring that one back. But anyway, this gentleman, an author, and he's got some pretty cool stuff to write about. You can find a link to his website that tell you about the book we were talking about and his other writings at travelguysradio.com. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back for the last lap here on the Travel Guys. We have a couple of ideas of great places for you to get away from for Sacramento, and we're going to tell you about a really special program that we have coming up in October. I think you're going to like this. That's coming up next here on the Travel Guys.
Hello there, my friends. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFVK. Again, follow along and get extra travel tips and more at travelguysradio.com. Okay, Mark, let's see. Where did we leave off? We're going to talk about some local travel.
Well,
little getaways. I'm sure people are interested in this.
Folks are, Tom, are. We've talked about this for a while, and it's going on all over the country. People, you can call them, you know, daycations or staycations or closer to home or whatever you want to call them. But people are obviously not getting on airplanes as much as they have in the past right now. Folks not feeling as comfortable traveling. Traveled in your own car. Believe it or not, this is really an interesting statistic. Now, I don't know if this holds up in Sacramento or not, but in Beverly Hills, almost 30% of the hotel occupancies in the last 60 days have been from people who live within 25 miles of Beverly Hills. How interesting. So people who live in the neighborhood are just saying, yeah, well, we can't go anyplace. Let's go stay in a fancy hotel. Or in a cheap hotel, you know, Sports Leisure Vacations, first group of folks that have gone on an overnight trip in 6 months since mid-March, went last week down to Santa Cruz and spent two nights at the Dream Inn. So there were a lot of other mitigating factors, meals, attractions, all that stuff. We won't go into all that now. But the basic thing was it's two nights on the beach while the rest of us were sniffing smoke up here and, you know, burning up in more than one way. So folks are looking for ways to get away. That's why state parks and, you know, we talk about the parking lots filling up early. Make sure that you go early if you're going to someplace that's supposedly unknown, because it's probably not unknown anymore. So places that are close to home are very popular. Next week, we're going to have the gentleman from Berkeley join us, and we're going to talk about taking the train to Berkeley, getting off, spending a day in Berkeley, and coming back home. So that might be something cool. Speaking of trains, the folks in Sacramento who run the Sacramento River train, that's now called the River Fox train, are doing a Pumpkin Patch Express. So it starts on Saturday, October the 3rd. It's going to be a family-friendly sort of thing, so you can look that up on their own. We had a group from Sports Leisure Vacations that took the wine train that runs along the river last Saturday, and they came back and almost to a person said that they really, really enjoyed it. Said the
yeah,
the pours on board were generous. The wine was good. It was they had people spread out on the train pretty well, and folks said that they really, really, really enjoyed it. So that's something right in town here. Another thing that's not too far away from us, and this is a popular time to go, is Apple Hill, and through September. Didn't you say you just went up there yourself?
We did. We went up on Thursday. It was the crowds were thin. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. Most of the, you know, the places to buy product and produce was open. Mm-hmm. We visited probably one of the most popular locations up there. That's the High Hill Ranch. And got some apple cider and such there. Most everyone that was visiting was wearing a mask. Not all, pretty hard to control. But those that weren't were keeping their distance. And you know, even where they in the cafes and such where they sell things, there's always. And I don't know, Mark. Maybe you know why. Maybe it's because of the heat in the kitchen. But it seems sometimes that folks that work in the kitchen area and so forth fail to recognize the proper way to wear a mask. The nose seems to always sneak out.
Yeah.
And for those that are really concerned about, you know, proper mask wearing, it can be kind of annoying. But we had a great trip. It's a beautiful place. Again, midweek. Mm-hmm. Go midweek. It's going to get very busy on the weekends, even though there aren't a lot of people, let's say, working, you know, during the week. One of the things is if you have children, whether you're working or not, your kids are being schooled in one fashion or another. So that's going to cut down the opportunity for them to go midweek. So if you happen to be, you know, free of kids and got the opportunity, midweek Apple Hill is a great idea.
Yeah, you really want to stay away from Apple Hill on the weekends, especially as you get into October. If you must go on the weekend, it's the only time you can go. Go early in the day. Most of the places open at 9 or 10. So go early and be on your way home by 11 o'clock while, when the parking lots are jamming up, just in case you don't have a way to get to Apple Hill on your own. It just so happens that the company that underwrites this program has a way for you to get to Apple Hill. Sports Leisure Vacations is taking a group up to Apple Hill on October the 13th, which is a Tuesday. You have a barbecue-style lunch at High Hill Ranch. You go to travelguysradio.com, and it's right up at the top of the list there. You can click on it. And there are about 10 seats available, I think. We're not filling, of course, the buses completely full these days. So if you'd like to spend a nice day and not have to drive yourself, visit a couple, three of the ranches up on the hill, that's for you. Tom, we have this really cool thing we put together last week, and we'll talk more about it as time goes on, but I wanted to at least mention it. It won't be until late October, 25th of October, but we're going to do a cooking class, a cooking show, on air on the Travel Guys one day with Paulette Bruce, who is familiar to KFBK listeners. Her and Kitty are buddies.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're also going to make it available. This will be a Zoom class.
Yeah.
We're going to broadcast the audio of the Zoom class. And, Mark, you can give them details as to or when we're going to push it out.
They'll be able
for folks to zoom with the cooking class at the same time.
Yeah, you will be able to, and it won't cost you anything. You will be able to sign up and Zoom with Paulette while we are. And if you're not Zooming, you can listen to it on the show. She's going to prepare a couple things for us live. She does cooking classes that you can sign up for if you wish. Zoom classes, which are we were talking about this, Tom, before we went on the air with it, but it really sounds kind of cool. And Paulette is a great gal, so we are going to try something. I don't know if it's ever been done before on the radio or not, an entire cooking class, but the back half of the program on October 25th. So just stay tuned. In a couple weeks, we'll give you the opportunity to sign up for it here on the Travel Guys. And you can either Zoom along with us, listen along with us, whatever. It'll be fun. And so ends another Travel Guys radio show for another Sunday. We will be back with you next Sunday at 3 o'clock. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. Thomas? Got any final thoughts?
Yeah, well, I just want to let people know that Mark will be in kitchen with Paulette on our Zoom cooking class. And for those who are big fans of Mark, they'll get an opportunity to see Mark stir and spoon and do what he does.
Some friends say I have a face for radio, so, you know, we'll find out.
All right, that wraps it up, folks. Once again, visit travelguysradio.com for links to all of our special guests here on the program. You stay well, and we'll see you next time right here on the Travel Guys.